Move on to item nine, William Carr and Noah Carr. There he is. Afternoon, Ben.
Unfortunately, it is afternoon. I had hopes of being in the morning.
Oh, come on.
Not even close.
Had being the operative word.
For the benefit of new members, I'm Ben Stagg with the Habitat Division. I do environmental permitting, but I also co-manage the oyster leasing program with Mr. Badger, and I'm wearing that hat for this case. This is an oyster grant application, or two applications case. For the people who've been on the commission for a while, you may or may not recognize this area. It's been a number of applications in this general area, and they've all had to come to the commission for one reason or another. But to get specifically to this one, these two applications, I would like to brief them together. They don't quite touch each other because of a channel, but they're in the very same area near the James River Bridge. It's William Carr and Noah Carr, which Noah Carr is, I believe, William Carr's father. I'd like to brief them together because they are kind of interrelated, including the protest, but I believe you should probably, subject to your counsel's advice, vote on each one of them separately because they are separate applications received at different times. So having said that, these are two applications, one in the name of William K. Carr. He applied originally for up to 250 acres of oyster planting ground in the James River, just upstream of the James River Bridge, and a second application in the name of Noah C. Carr for approximately 25 acres, also just immediately above the bridge, near Huntington Park in the James River, and they're both in the city of Newport News.
Excuse me, did you say south of the bridge?
Upstream of the bridge.
Okay.
Should be north. The application of Noah Carr, of William Carr, is protested by Richard Green, who has an adjacent lease, and the application of Noah Carr, we received a petition signed by, I believe, 17 people objecting to that lease. So, to orient you to where we are, this is the James River Bridge, the south side of the screen. This is Huntington Park, where there's a beach and a boat ramp. This is the larger application of William Carr, and this is the smaller application of Noah Carr. There is a federal channel from Huntington Park boat ramp that goes out between these applications out into the James River. This is public ground. This lease just in offshore of the application is in the name of Richard Green, and this lease is in the name of Mr. Carr. This is an aerial photograph superimposed under it, again with the same information on it. Again, you can see the James River Bridge. You can clearly see the area that we've left out for the channel, and I'll address that a little more in a minute. But again, the two applications are in this location, just upstream of the bridge. So February 7th of this year, we received the first application from William Carr for 250 acres. We immediately determined that we would not lease any of the area related to the channel for Huntington Park at the southern end of this application. We did start our public interest review on that application. Subsequently, we received a second application on April 4th of this year in the name of Noah C. Carr, Jr., seeking to lease approximately 25 acres, which is the southern area you see here, also adjacent to the bridge. And for that application, we immediately determined we would not lease the area that's designated as a swimming area adjacent to the beach there for that application. We also began our public interest review for that application. I will note, and hopefully we won't get too bogged down in this, but as I said, there's a history here. The lease immediately offshore here is in the name of Richard Green. This general area had been the subject of a number of applications dating back to 2005. This area had previously been leased by J.H. Miles Company for many, many years and eventually was let go by the Miles Company and sat vacant for a while. and then was applied for by Mr. Carr. The commission did not lease portions of it. Mr. Green applied. Portions of it were leased. Mr. Green came back and applied for some of it that wasn't leased by the commission and eventually ended up with this entire lease that he consolidated. It was two leases here, and he consolidated them into one lease just by having a new plat made. So just a little history of that. We don't believe that any of this inshore area was really part of those applications. This area traditionally has got a harder bottom, we believe, and was not really part of the Miles lease, or at least it didn't go in that far inshore. We did go ahead and survey the applications in June of this year, and plats were made of each one. They were approved by me pursuant to the code that basically says the chief engineer has to approve the plat and then has to wait 30 days before it can be assigned. So I like to do that and have 30 days transpire before we schedule it for a hearing if it's protested. So any action you take today could be a final action versus approving the plat later and then having protested by someone different than the current protester. So all that's been done. Public interest review has expired. However, we did receive, after the plats were submitted, but before the 30 days was up, a protest on both applications. Again, the application, we did exclude piers along the shoreline here, so it doesn't go inshore as far as this shows in the actual survey, because there are some piers, including the Menchville Pier, and we stayed offshore of the boat ramp area. And for the smaller application, as I noted earlier, we stayed offshore of the swimming area. We left the adequate channel area here for the federal project channel. Portions of this are dredged at times. And we stayed off the James River Bridge and the associated power lines, which are all on the north side of the bridge, out of that right-of-way area. I will note, if you look at this map, the hatched area here is the polluted line. So inshore this line, and historically this line has been pretty much the same for many, many years. You cannot directly harvest shellfish from within this area to market, but you can harvest for relay with a health department permit. So Mr. Carr, or either one of the Carrs, Noah or William Carr, could plant and propagate shellfish here and relay them, because he does have a lease offshore here, his clean lease, and then market them after the required waiting period for both of these leases. But they are, both of them, completely in the condemned area at the moment. On June the 3rd, we received the first protest. It was a petition protesting 2013-075 application, which is the Noah Carr application. It had 17 signatures. The petition did have some verbiage with it, and it incorrectly identified the applicant as Kent Carr. However, the description that was included with the petition noted an area that exactly matched the Noah Carr application. So therefore, we accepted it as valid because it correctly described the area of the Noah Carr application. The petition's actual objections to the lease were for the following reasons. The petition noted that this area had been public or not leased, not really public ground, but unleased ground in the past, and it should remain that way. It also stated that the commission had previously taken action that no leases would be allowed in this area and that the area was used for other uses such as recreational, and it would present problems if it was now used for shellfish propagation. We also received a letter of protest from Mr. Green on the 2013-026 application. His stated objections include that the area has no resource on it. This is the larger application now. He also stated that the bottom is either hard sand or mud and that the area is polluted and not open to direct market of shellfish. He also noted in his letter that he had previous issues with Mr. Carr and those working for him trespassing across their shared boundary between their two leases, and noted that in his protest. We did respond back to Mr. Green in a letter July 11, 2013, we specifically noted that for the 013-026 application, that the commission has routinely leased areas that either do not currently have resources and or have marginal substrate, as the leaseholder always has the option to attempt to improve the bottom by increasing the substrate, or he could use cage aquaculture on harder bottom, and then therefore make the area productive. Additionally, since Mr. Carr has an existing lease nearby, he could relay, so we didn't believe that the fact that these are both in condemned areas for direct market was a valid objection, since he has a lease nearby he could relay to. We also noted that Mr. Green's lease, which is partially in the polluted area and partially in the clean area, is also has that same issue. He can relay from portions of his polluted lease, part of his lease, over to the clean part and harvest under a health department permit. As for the objections to the other application that we got per petition, we noted that any area not currently leased is subject to application and lease if the commission deems appropriate. We also noted that the swimming area would be excluded, which is one of the recreational uses, and also that the boating channel leading directly into Huntington Park boat ramp would also be excluded from the survey area. We did not directly address the statement in the petition regarding the commission previously determining that this area should not be leased, but we do not believe this actual area of these applications was ever the subject of any such specific action by the commission. There were actions on the green and car leases offshore, but we don't believe that the commission's ever taken the action that these were areas not to be leased. Mr. Carr then submitted a letter to the commission, to the commissioner, dated July 19, 2013, in which he requested additional information about prior commission actions concerning his previous application for the area that's currently leased by Mr. Green. He also stated his belief that he was not treated fairly by the commission in those decisions. We did respond to that letter on July the 24th. I responded for the commissioner with a full explanation of all the commission actions related to this dating back to 2004. I do have those, but I'm hoping we won't have to go into those today, because they're really not germane to these applications. Therefore, this is the actual final surveyed acreage of the larger parcel. It is 203.88 acres. As you can see, we stayed a little further offshore. This is where the pier at public pier is, and then stayed offshore here as well for the larger application. Again, Mr. Carr has an adjacent lease. This is the area surveyed for the smaller application. Again, this is the boat ramp and the boat basin here. These two little symbols you see here are the actual channel markers as located by our surveyor. So the channel does come out in this area, and portions of this are dredged. So we stayed off of those, and again, we stayed off of the power line and the fishing pier, the James River Fishing Pier, which is the old bridge on this side. We believe these two areas are leasable, and we believe we've addressed the concerns that were germane in the protest, both the petition and by Mr. Green. Therefore, as surveyed, we believe these areas can be leased. We believe we've excluded potential conflicts of other users. Mr. Kent does have other ground nearby he can relay, even though these areas are currently condemned to the direct market of shellfish. And the fact that even if the bottom of the larger lease is not currently productive, it could be improved and made more productive either through on-bottom traditional uses or use of cage aquaculture. Therefore, we do recommend approval of both applications as surveyed. I'd be happy to answer any questions. The applicants are here, and I believe the protestant is. All
right. Questions for Mr. Stagg? Thank you, Bill.
Surveyor's here, too, if you have a surveying question.
All right. All right. Thank you. Mr. Carr. Swear both of you in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. On this lease, it's two separate leases.
Just say your name for the record.
William Kent Carr. One was made in N.C. Carr, Jr. One was made in Kent Carr. It's two separate people, two separate leases. Protest was made to Kent Carr. I don't see where N.C. Carr's piece should come in involved in it. And I came back, and Mr. Staggs added N.C. Carr's piece to it. It's two separate pieces. The two protests here that Mr. Green wrote don't have N.C. Carr written on either one of them. Here's the copies of the newspaper ads. I don't have anything to do with this piece right here, other than it being my dad and it's a family business. And we go back and forth. Four generations. We just received a picture of 1907 of my great-great-granddaddy going to Jamestown in a two-mast schooner that we never had seen. And that was amazing. But as a pioneer in the oyster business, I feel that this should be given to me without any question. But I also had a public comment thing that I was going to address in public comment, but I believe I can put them in both this issue. This ground here, if y'all could change that back to where I can see all of this here again, put the polluted area and Mr. Green's area up there. Yeah, like I say, this is a family business. Most people have applied for names and their wives' names and different ones. I applied for this in my wife's name and got turned down. Bill Pruitt was commissioner at the time. Came down to a tight decision. Lake Cowart was on the board. He didn't vote because he was in the oyster business and did the right thing. Came down to a tough decision for Bill Pruitt to make, and he made the right decision. Even though it wasn't for me to get the oyster ground, it was to leave it for the public. It was proposed by George Marshall. 21 people signed it. All right, 4 years later, after Mr. Green retires from the Naval Weapons Station as a fireman, in 2004, I think it was, because that's when he started selling me oysters in Menchville, that ground got turned down. And Bill Pruitt made the right decision to leave it to the waterman because it's a lot of oysters on that ground, and he didn't give it to me. 4 years later, Richard Green prized for it. George Marshall comes down here with 42 signatures protesting it, twice as many as it did for me. They give it to him. I didn't sign either one of the protests. I stayed out of it. I'm blessed and lucky for having that one piece right here. Owned 1,100 acres over on Isle of Wight side. I've turned that back in, but other watermen can get it. Had trouble keeping oysters on it. It's hard bottom, just like this bottom here. It's hard to get any oysters to grow in. It's sand, it's settled. And not to get off track, but how does Mr. Green know what's on there when that's polluted and it never has been open for anybody to work? But that's leave out of that. But I was turned down that ground, and then they turned around and applied and gave it to him. I don't think that was right for staff to do. I've complained to the commissioner. I complained to Mr. Staggs about it. I've gotten letters from both of them. And I disagree with y'all's opinion on that. But let's get back to this polluted piece. I think that should be, that's not an arguing issue as far as I'm concerned. I'm a working waterman. It's tough to make a living out of here on the water now. It's a lot of restrictions. You got the left hand and the right hand trying to tell you what to do, which I'm going to address in the public minutes after this. The health department's telling us, health department and the FDA's telling us one thing, and VMRC's telling us to do something exactly different. When you go to talk to the people, they don't listen to me much more, but that's coming up in the minutes. But as far as this piece of ground, I've said basically all I want to say about that, but I do have issues about the other piece of ground right here that was given to Mr. Green. First, he got the polluted side of it. Mr. Marshall protested. Then he came back and got the bottom side. All right. Why should y'all give that to him and not give that to me when I'm a commercial waterman working on the water all my life? He's a retired fireman and just started back working in 2005 because he sold me his oysters the first couple of days right before Christmas. And I could write books about the stories, but I can't keep going. I got to keep it short. And
far as this issue, I've said all I wanted to say. I think I should get it. But as far as the other issue, I would like to read what I got here to say in public minutes. I request for the board to reopen this and look at this issue again. Oyster ground has been given to a waterman down there. Matter of fact, to a retired inspector. And oysters have been harvested off those grounds. But then when they went back and looked at it, which needs to be done to the same situation, the grounds were taken from the guy and given back to the waterman. And I feel that the same thing should be done to this ground. I don't deserve it. Bill Pruitt said that. And it was a tough decision for him that day. And I've known him through the commission for many years. But then when Commissioner Steve Bowman was on here to give that back to him, I don't think that was right. And I think I've been discriminated. But when Mr. Green protested that, I said he's opening a can of worms up on the other piece of ground too. And I would like for staff to approve this piece of ground, even though it's no horses on it. The main thing to get this is where nobody can come inside of my ground and then come back on it, because all the horses are right along in here. From right here, the bar comes over here. I used to own this piece right here. I turned that loose because it's hard bottom. This piece here is enough to survive me for a living. And this piece will add on to it as far as making it better. This is more or less to keep the poachers off your ground because it is polluted, it's hard bottom, it's not nothing in there. Most of the inshore part of this ground is hard bottom and not very good oyster ground. All right, I have a question about the survey on this. This chart shows the ground coming down here and coming out a little bit. Some of them show the straight.
That's not the final survey.
It's not the final. All right, but this morning when I went to check my boat and I was complaining to Marine Patrol officers numerous times, and Mr. Rhodes back there says that Mr. Green's not working the polluted bottom. But it's a lot of mistakes there. Now, it was a boat inside the polluted bottom, and there was one down here. But they never do nothing about that. But I mean, and then he writes in the letter that he's had trouble with me going on his ground. I can tell each one of these board members, I've never been on the man's ground, and I've never stolen an oyster from the man. I've had to go in front of Lieutenant Colonel Warner Rhodes and five other Marine Patrol officers about another gentleman working for Mr. Green, and they said they were going to put Officer Mike Morris on him. Well, he shows up 3 weeks later about investigating. Every time I have a problem about it, the Marine Patrol officers show up about 3 weeks later. Well, Mr. Green put in this letter that I'd worked his ground. The very first thing I did was come down to the commissioner's office and Lieutenant Colonel Warner Rhodes' office. Y'all come look at my GPS. It's got a tracking device on it. Well, when did they come down? Last week. About 3 or 4 weeks later. The guy, I told him, go help yourself. Look at it all you want. Now he's got my GPS so out of whack, I'm going to have to take it off the boat, carry it to an electronics place to get it back to where I can work it myself again, because I'm not educated enough to get it back like it was. But I hate to keep coming down here and complaining about every little nitpicky thing that goes on. But the tracking device is a good thing to go, and I was against it when it first came up, but I'm for it right now. And then,
Mr. Tanker.
Excuse me. Let me get myself straight here. These two, it's just these two pieces you're asking for, correct?
Yes, sir.
Two in green.
This piece here and this piece here.
Okay.
This is an NC car. I didn't know if this was going to come over 250 acres. That's all they allow you. But I could actually put both of these in my name. But the benefit of the doubt, I went ahead and put it in my dad's name. And this ground here is mine, and that'll stay in the family because I'm going to pass it down the line just like everything has been done since my great-granddaddy.
Mr. Carr, do you want to add anything?
No, I think he said just what was supposed to be said.
Right. Any questions for either Mr. Carr?
And I think Mr. Green is on the replenishing board. I think it's disrespectful. I was on the replenishing board and didn't miss very many meetings.
Kent, you're bringing up things that have absolutely nothing. You're digging yourself a hole, is what I'm telling you. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
You ought to stick to
that, but
telling us why you need these leases.
In this letter, and I wasn't doing that. And I think the board ought to look into that.
right, thank you.
That's all I've got to say.
Thank you. You have anyone else who wishes to speak in favor of the applications? Who wishes to speak in opposition to the leases? Mr. Green?
Yes.
Come on up. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
My name is Richard Green, and I'm the other leaseholder. Well, I've got quite a few issues here to come up with. It's been stated so far, so I'd like to put a little clear a few things up. Main thing, what he was talking about, our original leases that we had. His memory has gotten very foggy because he can't remember the fact that the day that I come down here to put in and look at those leases, he had ground across the river. And I didn't have the cash on that day. I was going to put an application in. All I had was a checkbook. They wouldn't take checks. So on the way home, I stopped by Deep Creek to check my boat. And his boat was down there. And he was down there, and I was talking with him. And I said, well, all of Miles' ground is open down there. I said, I'm going to put a lease in. I went down this evening. I'm going back tomorrow morning. Oh, that was my mistake. Lo and behold, he jumps in his truck and comes down and puts in for the whole works. But he don't remember that because he's acting like I'm the villain in the whole thing. So anyway, the very guy that he's talking about, George Marshall, is the ones that filed protest against him. And that's how it come to him to take...
That's not for the leases we're considering.
No,
today,
no,
right?
For the other original lease. I just want to clear up a few things that's been stated, just for the record. They protest and they took all... They let him have the other half. They let him have partial of it. In which, you know, I said, that was my fault, and I spoke out of turn, you know, I've got no grievances. If I'd have kept quiet, I'd have probably had it, you know, so I can't blame him, you know. I might have done the same thing, you know, she was on the other foot, but so be it, that's the way it was. On this present deal that we're doing right now, a lot of the watermen wanted to keep this end open, the piece that hasn't been, I don't know which one's got it, the piece against the bridge, is that Noah?
That's Noah Carr.
Junior Carr, I guess. I call him Junior. I know him from that point of view. Anyway, a lot of them wanted to keep it open. They have very little bit of ground that's left in this area that is open. Even though it's polluted, we can still get relay permits from the state. I guess we can move these arches if we want. He's got the same opportunity that I would have. And I think we're both, like you said, very fortunate to have this ground. And I've been in the river longer than 05, I'm going to tell you. Now, even though I've been in the fire department, I've been in the river all my life, the whole time I was in the fire service. Plus, I've been out since 99, which that was awful. But that piece of ground, Dad, a lot of the guys want to try to keep it open. There is a chance maybe sometime in the future these grounds may become, the restricted area may be moved again. The restriction in this area is basically because of Deep Creek, the sewage system up in Deep Creek. 6 miles down the river, that's a long ways, you know, but sanitation department, I talked with them, and they've been talking on this thing. Maybe they're going to try to come and reevaluate this sometime in the future. But that's their business, and I'm on the side of safety and with the health problem. But that one part that I would recommend that all these guys want it open, I'd recommend that it stays open for the piece with Junior Carr.
All right. Any questions of Mr. Green?
Now, on the other piece, I'd like to address the inshore piece, too.
Okay. All right.
Okay, the piece against me inshore... I know it's nothing there. He's already stated there's nothing there. And he's also just stated the very reason what I stated. He don't want nobody inside his ground, so they'll encroach on him. But yet, he's going to come down and took the pieces out of me. And I do have boats coming over the ground. I did not see Mr. Carr come over the ground, but he did have his boats was working for him, did come in my ground. I used to go down in the dock and watch him right there at the Huntington Park Elementary School, I believe. Right there, it's right on the line. You can go there and watch him. As soon as my boats would get out of sight, the guys working for him did circle right in my ground. I could watch them. You know, and I had my stepson was running my boat, and he went aboard one of them and told me, he says, you got to quit coming in there. He says, well, my stepfather's on the shore, and he's watching y'all. But the guy still done it a few times again. I didn't get a chance to go down there very often, but they did it. And I didn't make no big bones about it. But they did go in there. They said that there was some two boats that went in there, but they never did say Kent went into it. And I never did see Mr. Carr go into it. But the boats working for him did do it. And for the same reason that he's saying he took that portion, it's the same reason I'm having that, because there's nothing inside of me, and there's no reason for anybody. There can be only one reason you're going to go in that, and that's going to be to probably do what you can, maybe encroach on it, you know. He may not, but he's got people working with him that would. I'll put it that way. And I've got no qualms with Mr. Carr or Junior. I know both of the people, and I've known them for years. But this is the front and what I'm up against. And that's the reason of my protest on this particular piece. The same reason that he did what he did. And I thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Any questions for Mr. Green? Anyone else wish to speak on this matter? All right, the matter's before the commission. Jim Wesson, Dr. Wesson, could you come up for just a second? How many acres of public oyster bottom do we have in the James River, approximately?
10,000 acres.
10,000 acres. Do you see any, this little piece here that's being proposed for leasing, do you see any need for that to be added to the public bottom by not leasing it?
No, not for that reason. I mean, I'm more concerned about the condemnation issues than I would be for that.
Okay. Thanks. That is before the commission.
Thank you. I move to approve. I think that having somebody work this bottom is more beneficial to the individual and to the state.
Are you speaking to both leases?
Yes, sir. Excuse me.
There's a motion to approve both leases.
Second.
And the second by Ms. Haney. Comments on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously. The leases are granted. Thank you.